Great, thank you. So we're starting our little series just over the next 5 weeks looking at the book of Jonah, a story that I'm sure you're all very familiar with, and if not, you soon will become familiar with it, I hope. It's always remarkable to me how we can think that we can know somebody and then realise that we don't. I heard listening to the radio a little while ago, and they were doing a phone-in inviting people to say things that had happened at Christmas that were unexpected. And this man rang up to say that his father and his mother, he was at his father and mother's house for Christmas dinner, and his father was, I think, in his 80s as well. And all his life, his wife had fed him sprouts, not just at Christmas. He'd had sprouts all the time. And at the beginning of this meal, after sort of, I think they'd been married for about 60 years, he suddenly stood up in annoyance and announced to the whole family, "I hate sprouts." And his wife, slightly taken aback, apparently said, "Well, why didn't you ever tell me?" And he said, "Well, I didn't feel like I could tell you." And suddenly, 60 years on, he decided to make this grand announcement to the whole of the family, much to everyone's laughter and surprise, I think. But it's true, isn't it, that we could think that we know something and then find out that, oh, maybe we don't know it quite as well as we thought. And I want us to hold that thought in our head when we come to the book of Jonah, because it can be quite easy, I think, to think, well, we know this story because we know it. It's one of the more, I guess, famous stories in the Bible. And I encourage you, as we look through this morning and over the coming weeks, to allow God to speak to you afresh in it, and to perhaps to sort of unlearn some things and relearn new things about what God wants to teach us through this prophet's message. A guy called G. Campbell Morgan said this: "Men have looked so hard at the great fish that they have failed to see the great God." And let me tell you, the book of Jonah is more than just about a fish. In fact, it's much more, and it gets to the heart of what people are really like. So what do we know about this Jonah character? He is a very interesting prophet in the Bible. He's a bit grumpy, to be honest. He's a miserable bloke as well, really. But we read in verse 1, it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai." Actually, Jonah appears elsewhere in the Bible. In 2 Kings 14, we read a little reference to Jonah as one of the prophets then. It's the only other time he appears in the Bible. And it's to do with kind of Israel's borders and the boundaries. And he was sort of a voice in all of that. And the Lord's words through Jonah kind of had some significance to those ancient leaders. He was comfortable, actually, Jonah, with speaking the word of the Lord to his people whom it benefited. So speaking to people who were like him was fairly simple. And it's worth keeping that in mind, because I think that helps us understand Jonah's reaction a little bit more, which we'll come to. But we read right at the beginning, verse 1, "The word of the Lord comes to Jonah." Now, there's nothing kind of unconventional here. He was a prophet. You'd expect the word of the Lord to come to a prophet. We don't know how the word came to him. We don't know how this divine communication happened. But what unfolds was this word was anything but standard. His reaction is quite significant, really. But let me just ponder on this, the word of the Lord comes to Jonah, because we live now in an age where obviously the Holy Spirit is, I believe, active in all believers. And I want to challenge you, well, has the word of the Lord ever come to you? And are our ears in tune to the word of the Lord coming to us that we might have something to share with other people? What do I mean? I've had a few occasions, some successful, some absolutely not successful. I had a dream once. This is going to sound slightly dodgy, but I had a dream about a young person who I was in my care, and but they'd gone travelling around the world. And I dreamt about them, but in the dream, I dreamt that God said some words to this girl. Now, I don't remember dreams. I could be having the deepest dream. I wake up, and I guess like many of us, it is instantly gone. And the more I try and grab hold of what I was thinking about, it's just disappeared. But this one didn't. And what was more remarkable is I remembered every word that I felt I needed to say to this girl. And so I had to try and contact her. I can't remember which country she was in at the time, but I spoke to her mum and managed to find the best way to get in contact with her. And I didn't hear anything, but I basically sent her a message saying, I've had this dream and this is what I think God wants to say to you. And I didn't hear anything for weeks because she had no internet. And eventually she got back to me and she said, I needed to hear exactly what you said. That's all I heard from her. Yes, yay me, hey? Well, no, not yay me. You know, there was another time I was at a conference, and it was a conference about prophecy. And I was getting really excited, and the guy was saying, you know, listen, God might give you a message. And I was like, there, and I was like, God, give me a message, give me a message. And I felt like God said to me, Mark, go and speak to this couple who I knew had just set up this, like, charity, and go and tell them that Robbie Williams, yes, the celebrity Robbie Williams, they needed to contact him because he's going to give them money. And I was like, that's ridiculous, God. That is not going to happen. And God, and I really felt like God said, no, no, this is it. So I built up the courage and I went and saw, and I said, look, this might sound a bit ridiculous, but I think God's saying, da, 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 and you need to get Robbie Williams in touch with Robbie Williams because he's going to give you some money. Anyway, I saw her following year at the same conference. And I said to her, did you get in touch with Robbie Williams? And she went, Mark, I tried. But nothing has come of that. So I was like, okay. Following year, asked again, nothing. And third year later, I said, any chance? She went, no. And to my knowledge, she has never, ever spoken to Robbie Williams about her mother. You know, I was wrong. I was wrong, actually, in that moment. But there's something really exciting about, has the word of the Lord come to you, and to share that with people. And, you know, you could share it in a way that if you're wrong, you're wrong. But if you're right, then you've been really faithful to what God has said. There's been, I've known loads of occasions. A friend of mine was in on a bus or a train, and she just felt like God said to her, you see that lady in that seat as she was standing there? You need to tell her that God thinks she's beautiful. And my friend was like, I'm not doing that to a stranger. And she said the whole journey, she just kept on hearing saying, God say, do it, do it, do it. And it got to her stop, and the lady was still in the seat, and as she went to leave, she just went, God says that you're beautiful, and she walked off the train. So I can't tell you how that one worked out. I was at Spring Harvest. I've only ever been to Spring Harvest once, standing in queue to buy Gemma a cup of tea. Man behind me, never met him before, taps me on the shoulder and says, I've got a word for you from the Lord. And he shared this word, and I made a mental note of it and then put it in my phone when I sat down again. And still waiting for it to happen, to be honest. It was all, I can't remember it all. I should really go back and check it, but it was about me working with people who are like in the real high levels of business. And I'm thinking, are you sure, mate? Maybe he got it wrong. We will see. God still has time to do this. Be very surprised if it is, but I wanted to ponder on this just for a little bit this morning, because there's something exciting actually about the word of the Lord coming to us and then having that courage to say, do you know what? I think God wants to say this to you. One last story on this, because it'd be probably helpful to share a successful story on this. I took some young people away on a camp a few years back, and while I was there, I saw somebody who I'd met, who I knew from Bible college, not seen them for years. And usually, if you see someone who you haven't seen for a while, you might go up to them and say, hey, how are you doing? And as I walked up to them, I suddenly felt that God just said, just say this to them. And before I even said hello, I just went up and I went, why aren't you a children's worker yet? Because I think that's what God wants you to do. And then as I finished saying, I went, oh, hi, how are you? Afterwards. And it wasn't like I wasn't suddenly like overtaken, but it was just like I needed to get this out. And he looked at me and he went, have you been speaking to my wife? I said, no, Danny, I've not seen you for like years. And he went, you've just confirmed to me everything we've been praying about. And I think he then went off. He's not doing it anymore, but he went off and became a children's worker. I'd love to say this happens to me every day. It did happen to me this week. And I have to say, I wasn't obedient enough to share the message. But I will. Because I'm speaking now, I need to do it. And it's not a particularly difficult message. But every now and again, maybe the Lord wants to say something to you, which he wants you to pass on to someone. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, and the word of the Lord can come to you as well. Do you want to be part of that adventure? Because it's flipping exciting as well as quite scary as well. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, and then it goes on. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come before me. Wow, okay. Well, if you get a message like that, that's a little bit harder, isn't it? This is not an easy word to hear, and Jonah knows it. The seriousness of this call that Jonah has been given can sometimes get a bit lost on us, because this was unlike anything that had ever been heard before. This was a Hebrew prophet being told to leave Israel and go to a Gentile city to give a message from God. Up until then, the prophets had only been sent to God's people, and now the prophets were being sent to the Gentiles. And not just any Gentiles. Jonah's mission was so unprecedented. He was going to the enemy. Nineveh, the capital of an Assyrian empire, and they were one of the most cruelest peoples at that time. These were really were quite evil people. According to Tim Keller, after the people of Nineveh, after capturing their enemies, they would typically cut off one of their legs and one of their arms. Yet, this was the nation that Jonah had been told to go and share this difficult message with. Jonah was called to an outreach mission to the enemy. And when we understand just how evil these people were, Jonah's reaction to me makes perfect sense. He wasn't just being miserable, annoying, angry. You see, cooperating with God in the salvation of his own people is a privilege. But cooperating with God in the salvation of his people's enemies, well, for Jonah, that was completely unacceptable. You see, to try and understand Jonah's mind, this hadn't happened. God, he was not wired in this way. It just didn't compute. Why on earth would God send him to go and give a message to his enemies when the prophets were giving the messages to the people? It just didn't calculate in his mind to the point where he's like, I don't understand this. This whole thing was beyond him. It was foolishness. The prospect of success was zero, and the chances of death were very high, as Jonah saw it. Put yourself in Jonah's position, would you go? Some of you are like, mm-mm-mm. See, Jonah has a problem with the job that he was given. But he actually has a bigger problem with the one who gave it to him. He's got a problem with God asking him even to do such a thing. He couldn't see why God would command him to go and give this message. And the truth is, we often get into that mindset as well, where God might ask us to say something or to do something, and our first reaction is, well, I don't really understand why God would be asking me to do that, so I'm not going to do it. Sometimes when things are a little bit beyond our understanding, we think it can't possibly be God, where perhaps it's more likely to be him. I had a friend once who felt God was calling him to the Bahamas. And I said to him, I said, how on earth do you discern a calling like that? You know, I was called to Croydon, you were called to the Bahamas. That is not right. Sometimes we can begin to doubt that God is good because we don't quite understand the things that he's asking us to do. And it might be quite as simple as saying to somebody we don't know, God says that you're beautiful. But in our mind, we're overthinking it to the point where, well, why would God want me to say that to a complete stranger? And we can't reason it enough to even think that God would be asking us to do it, but just maybe he is. So he's to go to this great city and preach against it. This was not only to preach against it, but it's to speak God's judgment upon it. Not only was this something that was totally inconceivable, but it cuts right across Jonah's agenda completely. You see, Jonah was all about blessing Israel, extending Israel's borders, Israel having victory over its enemies. That's what Jonah had been used to. That's what he was all about. But God's plans were completely different. God's agenda was to show mercy. God's agenda was to teach Jonah that he is not who he thinks he is. God's agenda was to bring salvation. You see, there's an old hymn, and maybe you know the line, but it says, the vilest offender who truly believes, a pardon from Jesus he receives. thank God that he shows mercy because I need it. Mark's just testified to it before he prayed for us and for all of us. So perhaps for us today, we need to allow God, or better still, to see God cut across our agendas, to cut across our theology and our prejudice and our self-righteousness and our sin, because we need God's mercy. And in many ways, until Jonah himself could actually recognize his own sin and his own need for God's mercy, he would never understand how God could show it to anybody else. And so Jonah runs. Anyone here good or used to be good at running? Oh, we've got some school champions, have we, in the room? County, district, Olympic? Great, I'd love to hear your running stories a bit later. Do you know there was a guy at Purley Baptist Church who ran in the 1988 Olympic final, 100 metre final. He didn't win. He came seventh. But at that point, he was the seventh quickest guy in the world. I had a little race with him down the church. I beat him. To be fair, he's probably got 30 years on me, but I beat him. I once ran the 400 metres at school sports day. I won by over 80 metres. I thought you'd be a little bit impressed. There were only three other people in the race. One of them was the school cross-country long-distance runner, so 400 metres was not his thing. And the other two were girls who'd been made to enter the 400 metres, and they walked round. I still won. Thank you. But Jonah, we read verse 3, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. Now we know, you can't actually run away from the Lord because God's everywhere. And the psalm I referred to at the beginning, we can go up to space and God's there. Go down to the deepest oceans, God there. We can't actually get away from where God is because God is everywhere. And we know that. But you see, this is a movement of Jonah away from what God wants. It's moving away from what God has asked him to do. He is being, and the word that we don't like, he's being disobedient. He is deliberately going the wrong way. You see, Tarshish was actually in the opposite direction to where he needed to go. Tarshish today, they think, is southern Spain. Actually, sometimes Tarshish as a place was also used to refer to the ends of the earth. And it's this kind of language suggesting that Jonah is basically getting as far away from where he is meant to be as possible. And as I think about this in my own life, I think often I need to be careful that I don't end up as a Jonah, because I think I do sometimes. I can find myself at Joppa, I'm running towards Tarshish. Try saying Tarshish after a few drinks as well. It's a little Bible drinking game. Please don't do that. You were all thinking it. You see, Jonah wasn't really running out of fear, although I suggest there was probably some of that. It's more that he didn't like what God was asking him to do because he didn't understand it. And therefore, he didn't want to be a part of it. And usually, out of our disobedience, it usually ends up in a storm. Now, don't hear me wrong. That doesn't mean that all the tough times and storms in life are because we've been disobedient. I'm not saying that at all. But often, when we are disobedient, we end up in a storm. And that was certainly true for Jonah. When we're out of sync with what the Lord wants us to do, then often everything in our lives begin to become disrupted and out of sync. I'm nearly done. Jonah was told to go. And this word go literally means to arise, to get up, to get going, to get on with it. Arise, Jonah. But instead of arising, Jonah went down. In fact, he went deep down. And right from the beginning of the book, we read it. Verse 3, he went down to Joppa. Verse 5, which we'll come to next week, he went down into the ship. And then later in verse 17, he went down into the sea. His journey, which was meant to be a rise, go, get up, ended up going down, down, and down. And so this morning I want to challenge us. Are we a people who will arise because our community needs us to? Or are we going to go down? Will we let God's agenda reign in our lives rather than our own understanding? Will we let his mercy break into our fixed understanding of things? Will we let his mercy break into our lives that we might show mercy to others? There is much to learn from what Jonah does and says, and we'll come to more of that as we go. But I hope that's been a helpful sort of start for us this morning as we look more at this prophet. Let's just be still. I'm going to pray and then we're going to go into communion. And then we'll finish. Lord, we pray that your word this morning would go deep down into our hearts. That we would respond accordingly to what you're asking us to do. Lord, would we hear your word? Would we hear you speaking to us with perhaps a message to bring a stranger or someone we know something of your word to them also? Would your Holy Spirit be at work in us that we would arise and go? That we would bring mercy and be people of mercy. Would you turn our disobedience into obedience? Our fear and perhaps lack of understanding into faith and just an excitement of journeying with you wherever you take us. Lord, these are big things to ask. We don't ask them lightly. Sometimes we feel like we can't carry all this stuff because it's too much. But we ask that you would speak to us this morning and help us respond to your word. And Lord, one way we respond this morning is by sharing communion together. Lord, we remember your death and your resurrection. That you have beaten our sin. That we can live as free people. and in that freedom to hear you speak to us and to journey with you. And so as we prepare ourselves for this bread and this wine, we acknowledge before you, God, those things in our life that perhaps haven't been honouring to you. We acknowledge our sinfulness. We acknowledge the things that we've said or haven't said that we should have. We acknowledge the things that we've done that have been hurtful or unacceptable. We acknowledge the things that we should have done when we didn't. We lay these things before you, God. We give them to you. And we ask that we might know your forgiveness. We might know the freedom we have through your resurrection. The significance of your body and your blood. That you gave for us. Thank you that you have asked us to share these simple things together. To share this bread to remember your body that was broken for us on the cross. To share this wine to remember your blood that was poured out for us, for our sin. And as we take it and eat it and drink it, we can remember and know that in your resurrection, we now have salvation and freedom and power to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.